It's time for Project Connect on Husker Radio. Each year, Project Connect hosts an in-person event as a one-stop shop for families and individuals to connect with services around the area. The event is sponsored by Families First Partnership. This year, due to COVID-19, the event could not take place. In its absence, Husker Radio was proud to partner with Families First Partnership and provide an audio resource to get the word out on these critical organizations. To learn more about Project Connect, go to familiesfirstpartnership.org. You can also hear all our Project Connect interviews at huskerradio.com. Now, on with today's Project Connect, here's Tristan Winder.
And welcome back on the Project Connect Spotlight here on Husker Radio. Pleased to have Gabby Wagner joining us here of RDAP. And Gabby, we sure do appreciate you taking some time for us today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Now, Gabby, for those that are unavailable, tell us exactly what RDAP is and tell us about your role within RDAP.
Well, RDAP was established in 1985, and we are trying to help the community, especially domestic violence survivors and sexual assault survivors, find safety. And we make sure that we help them try to along the way to try to get established housing, any sort of emotional, like if they need support, assistance. We work with a lot of the community members to make sure that we are able to kind of guide them in a step to where they can lead safe lives.
Now, you mentioned some support and some assistance that you try to gain for those victims. Tell us about the process of getting them support, and what kind of support do they primarily need in your experience?
Right now, we are facing a lot of housing needs as far as trying to find a safe place for for survivors to go. And the needs can range anywhere from just basic toiletries to finding them safety maybe somewhere outside the state, legal assistance, clothing, food, like I said, housing. I mean, it ranges from anywhere. It's based on the needs of the survivor.
So. Yeah, and I'm sure those needs are different from individual to individual and in a case-by-case stance as well.
Absolutely.
So, Gabby, tell us about how the coronavirus has impacted things over at RDAP. Obviously, you guys are the definition of essential service, and I know there's been some reports and some suggestions that there may be more abuse or more violence in some situations throughout the COVID-19. So how have you guys rolled with the punches and made your services available throughout this global pandemic?
Well, like you heard, yes, absolutely. Domestic violence has been on the rise since people have not been able to kind of go about normally. So for a while there, it was a little scary. We did not hear a whole lot from survivors, and we knew that it was happening. But now we are kind of on the uptick, and we had to obviously shelter down because we were not able to house people like we normally would. And we are kind of trying to figure out how, with all the regulations, how to make sure that we maintain safety for people, trying to make sure that they're not able to, if they do contract it, they're not able to spread it to others and things like that. So we are working through trying to make sure that we have shelter available, but in the same time, making sure that it's safe and accessible for survivors as well.
The old cliche that no news is good news definitely does not apply in this situation.
No,
because, yeah, like you mentioned, you didn't hear anything for a little while, but unfortunately, you knew that these horrible situations and these horrible circumstances were still transpiring.
Yes, and much more so because of the stress that people have. Obviously, they don't have jobs. They are not able to kind of get at the same distance or the same space. They're not able to kind of air their frustrations. So unfortunately, we expected things to go up, and domestic violence, unfortunately, it did.
Yeah, it was definitely a more stressful environment for everybody, and obviously there are some individuals that don't know how to handle that, and as a result, the abuse does transpire.
It does, and it's unfortunate. But we're here to help, and we want to make sure that people know. We added web texting and chat, so we are able to help people who maybe are not able to leave their homes. If they have internet access, they can certainly access that. And we have advocates from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then from 8 to 10 p.m. as well, available if anyone needs to talk.
I know, Gabby, as well, you have a lot of great support here throughout the entire community, but one area in particular I want to highlight while we have you here with us is the great support between RDAP and our local law enforcement.
Absolutely. We would not be able to do a lot of what we do if we did not have law enforcement support. They are the first ones to the scenes in a lot of times, and they are able to give us a small glimpse into what's going on, and we want to thank them for sure. And to be able to continue that partnership has been crucial.
Yeah, I can imagine. They definitely do a lot of great events here for our community and make a big impact. But I know that relationship between our local law enforcement and RDAP is one that's extremely unique. And you guys do a lot of work together. I know they sometimes go to RDAP as well for training resources.
They do. They do. We try to make sure that they are educated as far as the dynamics of a domestic violence situation, because they are very different from a regular relationship or what we normally assume happens. So we want to make sure they understand, you know, to try to believe the victim when they first see them, to make sure that they have the resources as well to kind of understand what is happening, and if they need, you know, immediate housing at that moment instead of having, you know, other avenues to be able to prevent instead of having to deal with the repercussions of it. So law enforcement has been very, very helpful.
Tell us how the community can join law enforcement and be a helpful agency and a helpful advocate for RDAP.
I think it just starts with having a conversation with your neighbors, your community members. I mean, anything that we can prevent before it gets to where law enforcement has to be involved is beneficial. So just making sure that we have community members out there who are talking to people, hey, you know what, if you feel like maybe they're under a lot of stress or maybe you've heard certain things going on, just let them know we are here to support you and we are here to help you. And always come into the office, talk to us, kind of get a little information about what intervention looks like as far as the bystander intervention, how we can sort of prevent things before they happen. I think that would be very beneficial for law enforcement as well, because that kind of curbs a little of the pressure that they have to go through, having to go in and intervene in the situation. So,
and I think in terms of RDAP, there's a lot of clarity that you guys provide. There's a lot of misconceptions with abuse in general. There's individuals that believe that the primarily clientele that you guys have is female, and that may be true, but you guys are there to help males too if they're victims of abuse, and that abuse can be physical as well as it can be verbal.
And emotional as well. And there's a lot of different types of abuses that we see that are not necessarily known to the community or known to the regular people. We talk about financial abuse. We talk about, like you said, psychological abuse. We talk about emotional sort of stressors that kind of prohibit a person from trying to get out there and living a more comfortable life or even more self-reliant because of words that might be thrown around, or if people don't have enough money to be able to just get gas for that matter and go places. So that's a way that the people try to exert control over others. So in any way, shape, or form, any time that anybody has any control over somebody else, we start to question, okay, how is that happening? Why is that happening? And try to kind of deal with that as we see it.
And you guys treat a lot of wounds as well. Rather, those are the emotional or the physical, obviously, because when it comes to abuse, no matter if it is the financial, like you mentioned, or the emotional or verbal, there are wounds that go along with that, although we can't see them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Some of those are sometimes the hardest to heal. People do take that, obviously, because it's a person that matters to them. They take that to heart, obviously, and if it's repeated over and over and over, over a period of time, you start to believe certain things, and we try to empower survivors to let them know that, you know, the narrative that you've been hearing for such a long time may not be true, you know, that you are able to do this, and you are able to go out there and live a healthy life, a safe life, have healthy relations, raise your children, and in the long term, that just benefits the community as a whole.
Now, Gabby, tell us about how RDAP works with other agencies that you would normally encounter at the Project Connect.
We work closely with, for example, Families First, People's Family Health, the Homeless Connection Center. I mean, we work with all sorts of community agencies, so that way we are able to provide survivors with resources, financial aid, and just like I said, basic clothing, for example. One of the things that we normally do, we work with a bargain bin. So if people donate certain items to the bargain bin, they are able to go there for free and get just their basic items. That is also another piece. It's very important for us to be able to do our work, is our clothes, connection with other communities, so we're very, very thankful for that.
Now, Gabby, if there's individuals out there that want to get additional information about some of the services and support that you guys offer, or maybe they'd like to give some sort of time, talent, treasure, and some sort of donation, how can they learn more and how can they do so in terms of a donation?
Oh, perfect. The best way to do it would be to just call the office at 308-660-64. I'm sorry, oh my Lord, I apologize.
Don't call yourself too often, do you?
No, I don't. Sorry, it is 532-0624. And then as far as crisis line, if there's an emergency and people need to reach out to us after hours, the line is 308-534-3495. And like I said, people are able to drop stuff off at the bargain bin for us to be able to give access to our survivors. We also have volunteers. The crisis line is run entirely by volunteers. We have a great group of gals who help out, and we are always in need of people who are willing to kind of come in and step in and talk to survivors if needed and run that crisis line. So we are always helpful for them. I mean, thankful for that.
Anything else you'd like to add today, Gabby?
No, just a big thank you, and we are welcoming anyone and everyone who desires any information or needs any kind of assistance. We're here to help.
Well, Gabby, we sure do appreciate the time and appreciate all the great work that you and your colleagues do here on the front lines of what is definitely not an easy job by any means.
Well, we're glad to do it.
You've been listening to Project Connect on Husker Radio. You can listen back to this and all other Project Connect interviews at huskerradio.com and learn more about Project Connect at familiesfirstpartnership.org, the sponsor of this great program.